The following talk, entitled Radical Resilience, was presented on the 21st of January 2024 by Reverend Ros Goldsborough.
Thank you, Julian. That reminded me when you were playing that song, having that little hummingbird. When we first moved to Maine, I hadn't ever, of course, met hummingbirds before, and I didn't realise how small they were. And so I'm standing out in John's cousin's garden, and this big insect went flying by my head, and I was going, "Man, they have big insects in this place." It was a hummingbird. And it took me a long time before I actually could see them. They're so beautiful, so fabulous. Yeah, so here we are together. Love to see you all. Radical resilience. This from Rumi really spoke to me. He said, yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I am changing myself. So our resilience comes from a decision, you know, to remain open to ongoing growth and change. Radical resilience is a choice we make to change and change often. It's moving off cruise control. So radical means going to the root of something, you know, not taking things at face value, but digging deeper, much as we like to do in unity. We look at meanings beyond the commonly accepted. Those of you who are doing metaphysics with Julian will know that for sure. We know that our outer is merely a reflection of what's going on inside us. We look to source if we don't like what's going on in our lives. We know we have the tools to change when we may not want to, and that's the challenge we have. Resilience is our ability to come through adversity and still know our wholeness, our divine identity. Think about what Paul Hasselbeck wrote in The Absolute Word for today. I am divine. When I want to reignite this energy, I remember the powers of life and zeal are its source within me. And you know, when he writes this, he puts those words that are our powers in capital letters. So life and zeal are in capitals. So resilience is the ability to withstand. You know, there's a tree in Florida called the gumbo limbo tree. I kid you not, the gumbo limbo tree. And what it does to withstand a hurricane is drop limbs, not just leaves, but whole branches. Maybe there's a lesson in there for us. During stormy times, are there some things we need to drop? An attitude, perhaps? A way of looking? Being right? R.J. Spinner, or Spiner, I'm not sure how you say his name, S-P-I-N-A, calls it surrender in his book, Supercharged Healing. He says, you must become one with self, self being the capital S self, in order to powerfully command the process of healing. Surrender, he says, completely, not just mentally, emotionally, or physically. It says, never reach for a result, but rather endlessly flow with the creative process itself. To like that. So we're asked to surrender. So radical resilience calls us to change, to become the thermostat rather than the thermometer. It's up to us to set the temperature, not reflect it. Anyone else have a challenge with this? For example, I farewelled my family a couple of weeks ago. I hadn't seen my daughter and grandkids for 4 years. And the next day I was in a funk, and I actually let Rhonda know. I snapped at John, and every now and again was teary. And I realized after a while that I had set the thermometer, or the thermostat rather, way low. Something popped up on my Facebook page that said, saying, you know, be happy that it happened, not sad that it's over. Reminds me again of Rumi. Yesterday I was clever and wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I'm changing myself. In his New Year's homily from 2020, Father Richard Rohr preached on the biblical call to change. So the Greek word for repent, metanoia, means change your mind. Richard Rohr says he likes to emphasize change because that's not something we humans really like to do. We're much like animals in that regard. Animals are creatures of habit. Well, so are we. But those of us who have a dog or a cat, and we're dog sitting at the moment, know their behavior is predictable. If we change some daily routine, they'll get upset. I think we're much the same, aren't we? We like things the way we like things. And yet the words out of Jesus' mouth tells that he came to give us a philosophy of change. In Matthew 3:2, repent, change your mind. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And of course, we know that mind is not just in our brain, don't we? Mind is in every cell of our body. As Myrtle Fillmore, so the co-founder of Unity, so clearly demonstrated with her healing. She realized that there is an intelligence in every cell, every organ of the body. And through our thoughts, words, feelings, we can either adversely or positively affect the state of our health. And remember, our health is not just physical. It's not whether you are sick or well, but all-round health, finances, relationships, well-being. Be a thermostat, not a thermometer. In The Revealing Word, Charles Fillmore said repentance is a reversal of mind and heart in the direction of all good. A reversal of mind and heart in the direction of all good. Here's an exercise if you're experiencing anything less than all good. It's one of the ones I learned during the leadership training. Write out whatever it is in all its unhappy detail, and then write out the exact opposite, a reversal. Claim the reversal as your new state. Destroy the negative one, rip it up, burn it, flush it down the loo. But therein lies a method for changing a habit, for becoming as hardy as possible, to be resilient. Be a thermostat, not a thermometer. Psychologist Robert Wicks suggests part of resilience is making a decision to remain open to ongoing growth and change. And each of us has a range of resilience, the ability to meet, learn from, not be crushed by the challenges and stresses of life. Of even more import than the different resiliency ranges people have is their conscious decision to maximize the ways in which they become as hardy as possible. So people may not call that resilience, but it is their ability to be open to life's experiences and so to learn. St. John Henry Newman, who lived 1801 to 1890, said, "Here below, to live is to change, and to be perfect is to have changed often. To be perfect is to be changed, to have changed often." That's a very different philosophy than most of us have, isn't it? Our natural approach is to keep in cruise control. The way we do it is the way we do it. And any change is considered maybe dangerous, definitely new. Bob Proctor said change is inevitable, but personal growth is a choice. Be a thermostat, not a thermometer. If we think about that gospel, Matthew's gospel again, we were given a program of change and growth from the beginning. If we don't grow, if we don't change, we end up at same at 70 or 75 as we were at 17. We all know people like that, and maybe even be one of them. Such people aren't very fun to live with. They want to pick and win fights. And I know this one quite well. And that's what a whole lot of politics is today. The important thing is not the truth or what's good for the whole, but what's good for the small part of which I'm a part. If people refuse to change what my mother used to call bullheadedness, the world will only get worse. And we're seeing that, aren't we? We have to learn how to dialogue, how to forgive, how to trust, and how to give people the benefit of the doubt. Certainly in our village here, you know, I think there has become, some of you may know, we had quite a split in the village, and some people have become very cynical about whether, you know, truth and love actually exist. And, you know, we see that in the behaviours, and we can see that in politicians, can't we, where they espouse something and we know, is that really true? Is that really what they're going to do? So we expect everyone to be for the truth of their group and their kingdoms, but Jesus tells us to change our minds and accept the kingdom of God, all good, which is what is good for the whole. So be a thermostat, not a thermometer. To be perfect is to have changed often. In Matthew 5:48, ye therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Seems such a big ask or commandment, doesn't it? But what if we see it as a process? In the Revealing Word, Charles Fillmore writes that the attainment of perfection is through spiritual aspiration, by never ceasing to erase false thoughts and by affirming truth as the law of our being. Never ceasing to erase false thoughts. So we don't suddenly become perfect. It's a process. And on the way, we may make mistakes. But there can be a moment when something changes, can't there? For John Newton, the minister who wrote Amazing Grace, his moment came when he was the captain of a slave ship. He was transporting slaves from the Ivory Coast to America to work on the plantations. On this particular trip, there was a terrible storm, and the conditions on board were truly terrible. Many died and were thrown overboard or slipped overboard. He vowed that if he survived that storm, he would turn the ship around and take the slaves back to the Ivory Coast. That moment was the turning point. He turned the ship and his life around, going on to train for ministry and later writing the hymn, Amazing Grace. And we're going to listen to that in a moment. Be a thermostat, not a thermometer. So what are we being asked to do here? Practice radical resilience. The choice to change and to change often. To move off cruise control, to never cease erasing false thoughts, false beliefs, to align ourselves with all good. Let's take this into a time of meditation. I invite you to take a deep breath. Yesterday, I was clever and wanted to change the world. Today, I am wise, so I am changing myself. I am willing to change. And to change often. Take these words as your own. I am willing to release things that no longer serve me. Habits, ideas, beliefs, I am willing to connect with Source, that creative process, the flow of life. I am willing to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. I am willing to practice radical resilience, always looking to Source, able to withstand the storms of life. And let's just spend the next couple of moments in the silence of your being. And we'll let the words, the music of Amazing Grace, just let that wash over you as you think about what does it take to change.